Today is, as you can tell, the second day within the octave of Corpus Christi, or the body of Christ. And today, however, I would like to speak to you about an interesting saint. We say a prayer to him in the second place tonight after the prayer to the Blessed Sacrament. He's an interesting man. He was born into a wealthy, wealthy family. And at those times, remember that there were no seminaries. It wasn't until the Protestant Reformation, Council of Trent time, when St. Charles Borromeo helped to put together the idea for seminaries. Before that, they would be each person, when he was recognized to have had a vocation, he'd be sent to a bishop and then to a priest, and would work and study under that bishop or priest for quite some time, and then was ordained. But then later on, the seminaries were established with the Council of Trent. But in any case, St. John lived in the 1400s, and when he was just a child, he received tonsure, which is when the ceremony that makes usually a young man a cleric. It's the step that you must take before receiving the minor orders. That, too, was customary back then. And then oftentimes a benefice was given to that, either a boy or a young man who received the tonsure. Many benefices were given to him, which meant he was to basically oversee the church. But since he was so young, his parents or some other priest would do that. But then he would receive the money for it, the benefits. Only when he came to realize that that was actually immoral to receive more than one benefice, St. John said, "That's it, no more for me." And he only kept one. It was the Church of St. Agatha, and it was in the poorest section of town. Well, later on, he was ordained. And after becoming a priest, he went off to study theology for about 4 years with the permission of his bishop. When he was there, he became quite sick, and he begged for a cure and promised that if he would be cured, that he would become a religious, not just a secular priest, but a religious. The problem was he had kidney stones, actually. And they must have been terrible. It required a very severe operation. And so he can be invoked for those who get kidney stones ever. But in any case, he was cured, after the surgery, and he became a religious. Became quite well known as a great confessor. He could read people's souls so that even if they tried to lie to him, he could point out their lie. If they tried to deceive him or hide a sin, he would know it. And he'd always help them to make the best confession possible. He was also quite the preacher. Some say that he was a martyr, actually, because he was no respecter of persons. When he preached, it didn't matter if the man was a duke or just a peasant. He said, one day when he preached to the Duke and condemned him for some impure vice, I believe it was, the Duke looked at him after the sermon and said, "Father, you need to learn to control your tongue." And he said to the Duke, "It is my job to preach. And whether I must praise virtue or condemn vice, that's my duty." And any preacher who's in the pulpit must be resolved very firmly to die for anything that he says. And that was enough for the Duke. But some say that some other woman had actually poisoned him or put him to death because of he was preaching against those different vices. But in any case, he was a very strong preacher. But perhaps right now the most important for this octave, the most important thing about him perhaps was that he had a great devotion to the Holy Eucharist. They say of him that he would spend hours a day just praying before the Holy Eucharist. But that at Mass, when the Holy Eucharist was on the altar, our Lord showed himself in all of his glory. And they would often have conversations. Imagine that our Lord would appear and actually speak back with him. But our Lord does that. He doesn't show his humanity. Remember that famous, it's a beautiful prayer, a hymn, that says that here lies hid not only the divinity, but also the manhood too. He's completely hidden, yet he talks. He speaks in a very spiritual way, and you recognize that too. Sometimes it's when you get the thought that you must give something up, and it's really kind of eating at you, that's God talking to you. And sometimes when you really think you should do something good, that is God oftentimes too. Those are actual graces. But imagine, I leave you with this thought. I put it in the bulletin last week, but imagine, if only we had such faith as not to regard the Holy Eucharist as a thing, but a person, with what confidence would we converse with him? With what confidence we would ask him for favors? It would be like Magdalene, who burst into that house, recognized our Savior, and asked for pardon, and was fully confident that she would get it. Same God is here. This is a person, not a thing. Let's remember that in all of our conversations throughout this octave of Corpus Christi. And go to Jesus with the greatest confidence that you can muster up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.